ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, minerals, vitamins, and children of all ages, things with willies and things without willies, and that's right, I did just say willies. Welcome to your brand new podcast fix, your weekly gospel, aka this show that's playing in your brain right now, which we call Through the Looking Glass, hosted here at hookedoncrack.tumblr.com. That's crack with a K, like ketamine or kippers, and I am your host, your pilot, your captain, your reverend, spitting out the weekly sermon, Mal Foster. Now, the big talking point this week was obviously the Democratic National Convention over in Charlotte, North Carolina, which, if you didn't know, is the home of NASCAR, an event in which everyone involved goes round and round and round in circles, going absolutely nowhere until eventually they either stop or they crash and burn. Which is kind of ironic, considering the Republican Convention took place last week. Speaking of, if you missed last week's grand exercise in vague ambiguity, then you missed a real treat. The festivities down in Tampa, Florida included Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan's speech, a tiresome dirge that was riddled with more gaping holes than a Kardashian family get-together. And of course you had the main attraction, an old-fashioned, doddery old man talking and muttering to himself, not making much sense at all. And on top of that, you had Clint Eastwood shouting at an empty chair. If last week's Republican convention can be boiled down to the phrase, kill the infidel and his lower income minions, then this week's events can be encapsulated as, yes, we can try harder next time. And if you didn't know, Osama bin Laden's dead. Alongside a series of representative speakers that were firing out zingers and hashtag phrases left, right and center all week during the convention, the Democrats, in an effort to get the youth of today hooked on the Class A drug that is politics, pulled out some seriously big-time celebrity guns to rival the remarks made last week by the aforementioned batshit crazy space cowboy. Alongside the likes of Scarlett Johansson, the DNC also saw Desperate Housewife and all-round desperate Eva Longoria address the crowd, not to mention Cal Penn, an actor whose best-known role is that of Kumar in the Harold and Kumar movie franchise, a collection of films which thus far has seen its title characters banged up in Guantanamo under terrorist charges and on top of a cheetah as it runs for freedom whilst high as a motherf***er. Of course, it wasn't just at the DNC that America's rich and famous had been campaigning for Barack. This week, the pickled whore of Babylon herself, Madonna, was seen sporting a temporary tattoo on her lower back. The singer took a short break from all things Pussy Riot, alongside her ongoing support for radical Russian punk groups, to show fans at a New York show how much she loves her president. Now, that really is the kind of endorsement money can't buy. After all, nothing says progress like a tramp stamp placed firmly on the wrinkled skin of an irrelevant pig. Of course, during the Democratic and Republican conventions, talks have occasionally turned to that of economics and the increase in government spending. However, one issue within this particular wheelhouse that was completely ignored is the fact that the US military has been funding the development of a robotic cheetah that can run faster than Usain, I can run really f***ing fast, Bolt. Designed by Boston Dynamics, the big robotic puss can reach up to speeds of 28 miles per hour on a treadmill and has been funded by the US Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which, despite its overly long name, which frankly seems made up, is actually real. As of yet, there's been no expected launch date revealed for the project, nor has anyone given a truly valid reason for building a great big f***ing mechanical cat. However, word from the Rebecca Brooks School of Research indicates that at some point in the future, terrorists will no longer be the greatest nemesis of the West. It will in fact be gazelles, mountain goats, and hordes of elderly and unemployed people who, if not dealt with promptly and efficiently, will plunge the world as we know it into 1,000 years of darkness. It's not just US politics that's been hitting the news this week, as British Prime Minister David Cameron found himself under scrutiny. Cameron, whose face is indeed made of plasticine this week, came under attack for his failed cabinet reshuffle. Instead of brightening up his administration with fresh changes, he pretty much kept everything exactly as it was, adding further proof to the theory that he does indeed talk out of his anus. But despite this, George Galloway's recent declassification of rape to bad sexual etiquette and the ongoing recovery after the Olympics, Britain may have found itself a new beacon of light. X Factor judge Talisa Constavalos, a lot of brain cells this week, declared herself an inspiration for broken Britain, And you know what? She's right. After all, the disenchanted youth of today really look up to the likes of Talisa, and so they should. Look at all she's accomplished. She pried her way into the eardrums of the great British public via a really, 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 really shit pop group. Judges people like an elitist every Saturday night, and was recently seen sucking a cock on camera. A true inspiration, if ever there was one. Outside the realm of fake idols and false promises, this week has played host to Ansa Iguna, the Spanish festival known as Day of the Geese. This, of course, is not to be confused with the popular German hobby, goose clubbing. The festival, which takes place each year, sees a dead goose covered in grease and then hung from a wire over a stretch of water. Winning participants are then required to launch themselves from a river barge and grab onto the goose, shaking it with all their might until its head comes off. If you successfully decapitate the goose, your prize is that you get to keep the dead goose's remains. This, of course, then begs the question, who in their right f***ing mind would want to do this? The art of love can be a many splendid thing. Unless, of course, your name is Ramon Aria Apeco. In which case, it's now a pretty pointless and futile endeavour. When she discovered Ramon had been playing away with other women behind her back, his then-girlfriend, Julia Manoz, took vengeance quite literally into her own hands. She cut off his penis with a kitchen knife and then flushed it down the toilet. Now, clearly this is an extreme case of retribution, but when questioned about it, the Society for Scorned Women stated that had Mr. Apeco kept it in his trousers, it wouldn't be clogging up the U-bend right now. Of course, it's not all sick acts of desperation in the world of romance this week. Just take the endearing story of Alexei Bykov. The 30-year-old this week staged an elaborate plan to ask his girlfriend Irina Kolokov's hand in marriage. Bykov hired a movie director, stuntmen, makeup artists, and even a scriptwriter to help him stage a fatal car accident in which he faked his own death. Shortly after the news was broken to his girlfriend, Bykov miraculously came back to life and proposed to her. When asked why he did this, the cheeky prankster stated, "I wanted her to realize how empty her life would be without me, and how life would have no meaning without me in it." The weirdest part of this whole story is that she actually said yes, proving that true love, no matter how elaborate its ruse, is in fact still alive. 50 Shades of Grey, the softcore turd of literature that just won't flush, is back in the news this week. No, it's not what you're thinking. London Mayor Boris Johnson wasn't rushed to hospital after being inspired by the book to pleasure his vagina with silver metallic balls. No, in fact, it was revealed this week that the musical equivalent of a used sanitary towel, the Black Eyed Peas, served as an inspiration for the book's sex scenes. In an interview earlier this week, the author, and believe me, I use that term in the loosest way possible, stated, "I have songs that I write sex to. One of them is the Black Eyed Peas, Sexy. That is a very sexy song. To give you a taste of just how sexy it is, here are some lyrics from the sexy track, Sexy. You take me to ecstasy without taking ecstasy. It's exactly like ecstasy when you're laying right next to me. I'm sexing you, you sexing me. It feels so damn natural, what we're doing so naturally. I'm liking you, rubbing me, and you like me, rubbing you. The passion's immaculate while you're loving me, loving you. I put L-O-V in you, I love putting me in you. Make love to you, just like Sergio Mendes play piano." Sexy was penned by Ivan Novello wordsmith Will I Am, whose latest single was recently beamed out over Mars. Considering that there is no known life existing on Mars, it seems the perfect place to dump that shit. And finally, the dirty peasants against capitalism have struck once again. This time their intended target is a clothing retail store known only as Hitler. The store, which is based in India, has come under community pressure and, in accordance to the demands of its haters, has agreed to change its name. Despite having a visible swastika embedded in the store's logo, when asked about its name, owner Rajesh Shah stated, "I was not aware of Hitler being responsible for the killings of 6 million people before the shop's inauguration. This time, I will choose a non-controversial name." Although not confirmed, sources say that Shah's plans to redesign the clothing store and relaunch under the name of Mussolini at the end of next month. It is believed that instead of moving away from the genocide theme altogether, he's decided to incorporate it with a more fashionable Italian theme. Upon hearing the news, a gaggle of celebrities took to social media platforms this week to express their disbelief. Disgraced actor and all-round hater of women, Mel Gibson stated earlier this week, "It's a disgusting shame that Hitler has to go. Where else will I find such comfortable jackboots?" But it wasn't all just crazy shit rags that jumped in on the branding crisis. Pippa Middleton, sister of Kate and all-round nobody, chimed in on the subject too. Pippa, who had originally planned to launch her new book Celebrate within the store, claimed, "It really is a shame, not to mention quite upsetting. Launching my new book in Hitler seemed the perfect way to honour my new family." To which I say, don't worry, Pippa, you can honour them in many other ways, like perhaps pissing on a homeless person. And there we go, listeners, that was the week that was, and this is Through the Looking Glass for the week. Join us next week where we will be burning witches at the stake and learning how to make a delicious pudding using only the inside of Paris Hilton's head and a spoon of brown sugar. Until then, goodbye, and if you can't behave, at least take photographs.